I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Liverpool are into the final of the Club World Cup. Manchester City are playing Leicester, and King Carlo's back in the Prem. The greatest and goodest of all the tidings we bring, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marcus Speller. Pete Donaldson's looking confused. Jim Campbell's looking happy. And Luke Moore is looking very excited indeed.
God rest ye merry gentlemen.
How many mince pies have you had yet since the start of the season, Marcus Speller?
217.
Oh, I had all my gin last night.
I've got a mince pie rating chart.
That does not surprise me. Yeah.
As you always say, Luke, with various sort of more niche things, you always get the perverts.
Yeah, you do.
You've become one now, haven't you?
Yeah, my wife and I have put together a mince pie rating chart.
Right.
For those who are interested, Morrison's in-store bakery are currently number one.
Oh, in-store. You got in-store?
Yeah.
Mate.
And Sainsbury's.
Custommyride.com.
Sainsbury's in-store.
My pie.
Are number two. Yeah.
Right. Sorry, what was number two?
Sainsbury's in-store.
Oh, right.
Yeah. there are rules to it, which I won't bore you all with now.
Right.
But the in-store ones do. The in-store ones do fall under the right purview.
Would you allow yourself to have one with gin in it?
Yeah.
Oh, in it.
Right. Yeah, it's got like slow gin. I can't remember
what part, of me do you think wouldn't enjoy eating a mince pie in any capacity?
Yeah. What about a bit of brandy, Peter? It's a bit more Christmassy.
Bit of brandy.
Brandy butter, hello.
Like in Bottom when they have Christmas dinner and they eat vodka margarine.
Vodka margarine.
Vodka margarine.
Right then, ladies and gentlemen.
One potato or two spud gum? Two, please. One potato or two spud gum? Sorry.
A lot of younger listeners and non-British listeners go, what on earth are they going on about?
And fuck them, quite frankly.
To be fair. Yeah, probably not different from any other
week. Yeah, this is our show, not yours.
Exactly, but we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, Rick Mayall was trending on Twitter yesterday for absolutely no reason, as
right?
It should be.
Craig Davis's dad?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, unofficially. Marcus,
let's not do any football today.
Should we not bother?
Yeah, it's like the last day of school, isn't it? Should we just play Monopoly?
But it's not the last day of school because we're back in on Monday.
Well, you know, we've got a weekend.
We got a weekend.
Just turning up.
Jim, do not be a teacher.
Yeah. No. Every Thursday. Bring your toys in. This is every week now.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. But Liverpool are into the Club World Cup final. Oh, my goodness.
It's the big one.
Reaching fever pitch in Qatar. They beat Monterrey 2-1. They'll play Flamengo in the final. Jurgen Klopp was shown a yellow card for his antics towards Antonio Mohamed in the Monterrey dugout. Is the word I'm looking for. Mm.
Yeah. It's not a dugout anymore, is it?
No, it's a technical area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, just in the technical area, the actual footprint of the entire situation.
It's the dugout. It's the bench, isn't it? It's the bench, really. Yeah.
But are they benches? They're individual gaming chairs.
A lot of them are sponsored by popular car brands, which means they're individual luxury chairs, basically.
Because they look like cars, like the ones you'd have in a car.
That's right.
I believe it was Ken Bates, when he was Chelsea owner,
Batesy,
refused for a decent while to let them have comfortable chairs in the dugout because he said that he didn't want the players to be happy there.
Do you remember that? I might have said this on here, that a friend of the show who will remain nameless said that he was once at some event and Ken Bates turned up and was walking around like he owned the place because it's Ken Bates, and leaving a trail of destruction in his wake. And there was a woman with him who was going around, and if anybody was looking a bit funny and going, "Well, what's this all about?" She would just be going, "That's Ken Bates, you know, that's Ken Bates." Really? Like this really sort of odd cheerleader.
My first ever job was at Chelsea TV.
Oh yeah, so it was.
And Ken Bates owned the club at the time. Mm. And the two things I remember is that we were told on the first day, and this never happened to me because I never met him. So if you do meet Ken Bates, it's Mr. Chairman or Mr. Bates,
right?
And which is very close if you were a childish persuasion to of something course. Else. Mm. And then as you walked into the reception, it had a kind of like a scale model. I forget what it was of, but it had some kind of motivational quote about the Romans.
Was it not the stadium?
Might have been the stadium. Yeah. And the motivational quote about the Romans. So something about like
Stamford Bridge wasn't built in a day.
No, it's something like the Romans. But the Romans didn't get what they got by committee. They got there by killing everyone that's in their way or something like that. Something like that.
Something
but you know what? At the risk of being unfair to Mr. Bates, I can't remember it exactly, so I don't want to mischaracterise.
I think if anybody other than Ken Bates had done the plan of making the bench uncomfortable, they would be like, oh, what a visionary.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Well, of course,
but it's Ken Bates. Everyone goes, what an idiot.
Yes, but famously though, at San Siro, which is still there and still occupied by Milan and Inter, of course, in the home dressing room, in the home dressing room, I think it was Berlusconi who put in your kind of car seats, as you're talking about, on the benches. Every individual player is treated like you are a god of Milan kind of thing. Whereas Inter, under Moratti, it was a bit more of I'd say he's of a left-wing persuasion, but he was a rather wealthy individual and so on. It was benches. It was like going into essentially a glorified, Saturday morning team sort of dressing room, because he wanted everyone to stay a bit more humble.
That steady miss falling apart, though, to be fair. So.
Yeah, but the dressing room was
because of mismanagement like that.
Was there not
something with Chelsea trying to get permission to build their new stadium where there was one resident who refused to leave?
Happened at Spurs as well.
No, but wasn't it Ken Bates? Didn't Ken Bates refuse to leave his penthouse?
No, you might be right
and
there.
He turned 88 last week, so happy birthday, Ken.
Yeah, Ken.
If you're listening to Bates.
Only Mr. Chairman or Mr. Bates.
Happy birthday, Mr. Bates, if you're listening from Monaco.
Exactly.
Where you live.
I'm glad we got that out of the way. But yes, Liverpool are into the final of the Club World Cup, which is the big one. They were
left
beaten 5-0 by Aston Villa, of course, in
the day before.
In the League Cup, which is understandable, despite the efforts of the exciting Harvey Elliott. But it was a good win. Last-minute win. Little sneaker from Firmino.
It's funny, actually, people have been quite quiet about this, given that this is the event in the football calendar, this tournament, isn't it? This is what everybody builds up to all season.
It's mad how you won't get a real kind of zeitgeisty effect when you put a game on at 4 p.m. when everyone's at work on BBC Two.
Yeah.
The week before Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. People are doing other stuff.
This is a pre-runner to what's going to happen in the World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah. But are we being unfair, though? Because...
No.
Peter, please. I was just going to say that is it a bit of the old... Because back in the day, the FA wouldn't send a team to the World Cup and they didn't want to be involved in the European... Well, let me finish.
I was back to the 1930s.
Yeah, but they were also very reluctant to enter English teams into European competition because there was a kind of arrogance about it.
Mm.
We are on record, particularly in this room, but also in the English... football going public at large, as being quite derisive of the Club World Cup.
No, I love
it. But you have to win the Champions League to qualify for it. So should it be given a little bit more kind of kudos?
Have we been particularly derisive? I don't recall this.
Marcus has been very derisive.
Marcus has, yes.
That wasn't that being that bad.
Well, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because in theory, it should be...
It's a big deal to other nations.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess the European dominance in it generally, obviously it's broadly split between Europe and South America over the years is makes it less competitive, I suppose. So, like, you know that the winners of the Asian Champions League aren't going to win, realistically. Mm. I suppose in the future that might change and that might make it exciting. But, yeah, it's I don't know, maybe it's a format issue, maybe it's when it's played, but it doesn't have the glamour that you feel like it should.
Well, I think that's what we're kind of...
It's got lots of glamour, I'm afraid. That's the thing. Well, you can always buy in glamour.
You certainly can. But I think, you know, we're talking about the time of year and feeling a bit sorry for Liverpool because it... Mm. You know, they're out the League Cup essentially because of this. Now, people might say, well, it's only the League Cup, but still, it's a domestic trophy. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I would imagine Liverpool fans, or Liverpool fans would celebrate winning the League Cup more than the Club World Cup. They're changing the Club World Cup format to the summer, which becomes, like, literally as it sounds, a Club World Cup of 24 teams, which is under a lot of criticism and scrutiny and so on. I just, you know, they used to have a one-off game. It was at the Intercontinental Cup. I think it was played in Japan between the South American and the European champions, and this has come along. The European teams have been very critical of this in the past. I mean, it was played in January before, many years ago. I remember, you know, Man United didn't play in the third round of the FA Cup that time. It interrupts the European season.
Do you think that that Liverpool might actually quite enjoy just getting away from everything for a little while, getting away from all of the headlines, all of the pressure of the league, and just taking a week away just to take stock, do double training sessions, players who might not have that time to recover, getting a few days to recover.
Bit of sunshine.
How
can you recover and do double training sessions at the same time?
Well, I mean, some players will be on double training sessions, Luke. Some people
This is an interview for the coach job.
Well, Jurgen Klopp is clearly not happy with it, hence him getting all feisty and yellow cardy. But he's been very critical. And I think that's the thing, is that when it interrupts the domestic league, that's why it's European teams. And the European team is the big side going there. If you took the European team out, I'm pretty sure the rest of them would go, this is not as good.
And it's happening, isn't it, because it's a FIFA competition.
Yeah.
And FIFA don't like the continual creep of more dominating of club
of UEFA
football. Yeah. Like, not just UEFA, but club football generally, but UEFA chiefly. And so that's why they're doing what you've just described, this plan in the future. I understand that Liverpool wanted to keep that core first team together and keep them on this winning run and treat them as an amazing team, which is exactly what they are. So I get the reticence to leave maybe a handful, four or five players back home to take pace in this League Cup tie. But I don't necessarily see why they couldn't have kept them back for like a day and flown them out and said, all right, you won't be able to play in this first game.
Yeah.
But they'd have had enough to beat Monterrey anyway.
Could have done a Mark Hughes, play two games in a day.
Yes, why not? Yeah. I used to do it every weekend when I was 17.
Yeah.
Don't know they're born, do they?
No, I don't.
For the bloody money they are.
I mean, if you're only
playing nine games a day.
Yeah. Having said that, they only just snuck past Monterrey, so maybe in retrospect it was the right thing
to
do.
I just think it's a bit of a shame, because if Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool thought, you know, we saw Man City win a domestic treble, wouldn't it be phenomenal to go for a quadruple or even that domestic
treble? Well, Pep Guardiola did that with his Barcelona team, didn't he? I think they won six trophies in a calendar year, so that is effectively the benchmark.
Hadn't Pedro at one point in his career won more trophies than he'd lost games?
Something like that. Right, it was absolutely... When he went to Chelsea and corrected that.
Yeah. If Klopp wanted to win that League Cup tie, he would have won that League Cup tie, Marcus. I'm fairly certain of that.
No, because as Luke's has said, he wanted to take the core of the side. He thought it was important. Mm. And if you don't go and respect the sort of the integrity of the Club World Cup, maybe he was put under pressure. I don't know. But clearly he was unhappy with what he had to do. Mm-hmm. But they won't be playing this weekend.
No.
They will have a little bit of a rest before it gets mental when they're playing about three games in 5 days.
Again,
it's always worth pointing out that, as we heard on OTC yesterday, the Bundesliga had games midweek this week.
Yeah.
Ahead of their winter break.
The English disease.
Which they call they call it an English week. Yeah. We've got an English week, and they play like so many games. And obviously then they have their winter break where they can take stock and have a bit of a rest. English football, nah. Not a break. More games.
Ramping up.
We've got more games. Yeah.
Squeeze a cup in there as well.
The worst thing that ever happened to English footballers is that the undersoil here, because they didn't cancel as
none
many
are called
games.
Off, yeah.
That's true, yeah. And by the time the Euros come around, we'll be exhausted. Mm. Yeah.
Nice to see Monterrey, though, isn't it? Always nice to see any glimpse of Mexican football, the most mysterious and exotic football on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Liga MX sounds like a video game system.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the kits. Oh, the kits.
Oh, the kits. My goodness. Right, let's turn our attention to the Premier League. Everton are hosting Arsenal. New managers all round, it seems. Ancelotti will take charge of Everton. I'm not sure if he'll be in charge of that game. Duncan Ferguson Ferguson may need to be killed to.
Now, will he keep Duncan on his staff though?
That's the rumor. He will,
right?
Well, because we were worried, weren't we? For whoever Ancelotti took over, that it might be too relaxed, and we made quite a bit of that kind of chat. Well, if you've got Duncan Ferguson on your staff, it should address some sort of the balance.
Well, maybe he could come and join Arteta. If not,
Duncan Ferguson going to Arsenal.
Yeah, with Arteta.
No, I think Duncan
Good cop,
Ferguson.
Bad cop.
No, firstly, I think Arteta's actually probably going to be a hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
We'll come on to him in a minute, but I don't think it.
Hard cop, even harder cop.
Come along, Jim.
I think it's good to have a bit of continuity, and Ferguson's been there a long time. I'm fascinated by this Ancelotti appointment. Mm. Horncastle said that, he said to me, I can't remember if he said it on OTC, but he said to me that it's an interesting situation where Ancelotti thinks that Everton's a better prospect than Arsenal. There's no disrespect to Everton, but it kind of gives you a little bit of the a bit of insight into the status of both the clubs at the moment.
It's also dependent on how serious Arsenal were about Ancelotti, I think, you know.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I don't think he'd been the right appointment for Arsenal anyway, as we've already spoken about. But to me, Everton sort of feels like a roughly similar profile to Napoli. Mm-hmm, it didn't really work for him there. And I think he's a continuity coach, as we've talked about. He's a guy who's a bit of a player whisperer. Mm-hmm. And I think this will be a big challenge for him. But it's exciting for a team like Everton. I mean, Spurs have managed to get themselves into a position where they've hired the most famous coach in the world, if nothing else. And now Everton have got a coach of the pedigree of Ancelotti. It feels a bit like it could be, looking retrospectively, it could be a bit of a paradigm shift.
Are people sort of saying that Mikel Arteta is definitely 100% going to be the Arsenal manager? Because there's not been an official approach until, certainly last night, there wasn't any official approach. And Man City was spitting feathers about
City
that.
Yeah, City are fuming about that, aren't they? Yeah.
But they said they're not going to stop him talking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it must have absolutely blindsided them.
Who
could have seen this coming?
Well, they spotted a couple of chief Arsenal negotiators leaving Arteta's house late in the week, and then Arteta left the stadium by himself last night. So it sounds like something's definitely moved.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's far from cut and dry.
Yeah, as yet, there's no official announcement at the time of recording. That might be different by the time the show comes out. But I think, you know, both of those are pretty sure to happen.
Arteta, in terms of the better markets, which is normally a pretty good barometer of this sort of thing, Arteta is unbackably short. He's the standout biggest favourite, and the next best one is Patrick Vieira at 20-1. So at the time of recording, it looks like it's happening. Yeah, so that'll be. I mean, it's even particularly for the Premier League, even this season has been mad already in terms of management.
Mm. Yeah,
there's a lot. I mean, it come all at once, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of churn straight away.
On Everton, I think Duncan Ferguson's, the way he's speaking in the press at the moment, like he really seems to have caught the managerial bug. I think he might be moving on sooner rather than later to somewhere.
Be a big wrench for him, though, wouldn't it?
Because
he's been there a long time. Do you think that's how do you look at that game as an Arsenal fan, Jim? Do you look at it and go, God, that's a nightmare fixture for us? Or is it good at that stage now where they want to be away from the Emirates until it sorts itself out to get a little bit of the pressure off?
Probably that, though at the same time, Mikel Arteta is well regarded at Arsenal. So actually having him in the dugout sooner rather than later would probably be a good thing as well. It's weird that he's, you know, this is two English clubs in this game. Potentially the new manager bounce. Does that cancel each other out if both clubs have new managers? That's a weird one.
They won't be in position for this weekend, presumably. But will Ancelotti be playing a 4-4-2 against Arsenal? Yeah, he is.
Who knows?
He used to like one back in the day.
On the Arteta thing, Mark, you mentioned, I think it was you just said earlier that he's tougher than he kind of looks, Arteta. Is there an element with any of you guys that you think, assuming he goes there, it's an absolutely gigantic job for someone who's doing their first job in management?
Well, of course it is, yeah. But at the same time, I mean, he has to go and do that somewhere, doesn't he?
And, well, not necessarily. He could go job in the Championship.
He didn't look happy.
Luke's point is absolutely spot on. It's a flipping enormous
It's probably the biggest job in English football.
I'm offering a counterpoint to it, Marcus. I'm not disputing it.
Okay.
But, you know, he's well regarded. He's obviously worked under Pep Guardiola. There's this idea that means he's going to be like a sort of like Pep Guardiola, which isn't necessarily true at all, is it? But I think Arsenal is such a confusing job as well as being a big job that it needs new ideas. And somebody who knows the club, who actually does have a little bit of coaching pedigree, sort of behind the scenes within the world of football, is certainly... It looks like a strategy that makes a little bit of sense, which is rare from Arsenal, and it's appreciated. But it's a weird job. Again, Arteta's been known for improving players at Man City. He's worked a lot with Sterling, obviously, as Guardiola has, and obviously Sterling's a brilliant player, but Arsenal need that so badly. They need someone who's going to come in.
Well.
Oh, definitely.
Rather than front.
The whole team needs to be better at defending. That's
part of
the problem.
They need to improve their system rather than, rather than individual players.
They need to improve absolutely everything. And whoever's coming in, they need to be the person who's in charge of just imprinting a new style on the team and improving those players, getting a recognisable style. He says he wants to play attacking, flowing football. If Arsenal have the players, Arsenal should have the players to do that. But, you know, he's got to figure out if actually they don't and they need to be a bit more pragmatic. So it's a weird one. It's a bit scary, exactly because he's not had a head coaching position before. But it's also quite exciting because you don't know what to expect.
If I was sat in the dugout for Man City against Arsenal, I'd be like, oh, what am I walking into?
The problem I find is, and that's all fair. Nothing Jim said there is inaccurate, but to me, I mean, obviously with respect, it just sounds like window dressing. From the outside looking in, that's window dressing because it's probably the second biggest job in the history of the Premier League. If you look at
Man United
going in after Man United, after Ferguson, and essentially going in after Wenger. Yeah. Emery's come from a background of dealing with big players at a club with huge ambition and huge amounts of money. And clearly he wasn't without his faults and he had his issues. But you wonder if Emery's not qualified to do it, is Arteta. Now, we're not saying he isn't. I'm just saying at this point, it's impossible to know. Mm. And he is essentially choosing probably the hardest job he's ever going to do as a coach first. And that has to be taken into account.
I quite like that, though. Do you know what I mean?
It shows I love it, Jim, because I'll be on the outside in looking in. And it could be amazing, but it could be an absolute bin fire.
I don't think it's going to be... I don't think the bin will be put out by the end of this season. I think this season is a bin fire, whatever happens.
Will he win
every game, and it could still probably stack up as a disaster.
Will he get Pep down the M1 to put the bin fire out for him and the fire extinguisher?
Maybe, yeah.
I think I couldn't ignore the comments of Willy Aubameyang, of course. Pierre,
why would you?
Emmerich's brother believes that Arteta is the same as Freddie Ljungberg, as both have no experience.
Is he also the rapper?
That's Felix Ghost Street.
That's just his friend?
No, I think that's he's got another. I think he's got
another brother.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think Willy is the rapper.
Well, if you're a journalist tasked with getting a quote from one of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's brothers about Arsenal and about Mikel Arteta, why are you not getting the rapper?
Well, I don't think a journalist went out. I just think he posted on social media.
Yeah, that's what journalism is these days. That's journalism these days, mate.
It's my journalism.
Yeah. Guy's basically Wayne Lineker, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Big Veng believes that Arteta will need help if he is to be a success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine,
is there
imagine
room?
Get him in as his assistant.
Marcus, tell us about Big Sam. When you said big then, I thought you were going to say Big Sam.
Oh, no. I was saving that till all the serious chat died down.
Yeah.
I mean, a man, what you want is a strong leader. And when you hear someone say, I could come and work on Arsenal's defence and make them better tomorrow, not a problem whatsoever. I've done it everywhere I've been. Talking about lack of experience, well, listen to this experience. I've done it everywhere I've been. Newcastle, Blackburn, Bolton, West Ham, Crystal Palace, Everton. I've done it all there.
To be fair, he has.
He has.
Newcastle wasn't a brilliant time.
He's done something.
Yeah. I mean, he has sorted out the defence.
I know people who could sort out Arsenal's defence.
Yeah.
I reckon I have a
decent shot at it.
I was in the pub with four other people last night, and I reckon two of them could sort out Arsenal's defence. But Big Sam, you can't have. Fine, you can hammer him for the stuff he says, and he's obviously a bit of a risible character. And if you look at his win percentage, it doesn't kind of stand up at a team.
But if you look at his
Arsenal
voting record, it's not good.
I would never dream of doing that because we have secret ballots in this country and I'm for that, Marcus. Mm. Unlike the demagogues among us.
Yeah. How have you got access to that? That's another...
I'm going on assumption. Anyway, carry on, Luke.
I think it's probably fair, if I'm going to be completely even-handed about this, to say that the Arsenal job might present a different challenge to what Big Sam's done before.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, he's saying that with a glint in his eye, isn't he?
Sadly, and I do mean sadly, we'll never know.
No. Sadly, he co-hosts a breakfast show on national radio where the other person doesn't want to say much, so he relied upon a lot, and this stuff does tend to come out.
If he'd had some sort of bigger job, you know,
Yeah.
Maybe like an international job or something like that. And that had gone well. Then maybe that would have given him the platform to go into such a role.
And very quickly, shout out before we move on to the quality of goals on display last night between Everton and Leicester.
Absolutely.
Particularly the Leighton Baines blast from the past.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was like him getting his guitar out and banging out a bit of Wonderwall, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
35 years old.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That might be the last one of those left in that left peg.
Hope not.
Now it's time for emails with PTD.
Show@footballrambledaily.com. And now Peter's reading it out. Well done.
Johnny Haynes got in touch. Nihao Football Ramble. Long time listener, first time emailer, messaging you from Hong Kong.
Ooh. Johnny Haynes, the great man.
Johnny Haynes of the manuals. Whilst messaging friends in the UK, my phone infuriates me by autocorrecting Mohamed Salah's name to Mohamed Salah. Duh. Mohamed Salah. This happens every single time, and although mildly humorous, I think it's a sign for the Ramble to bring back one time only your famous players by categories. Players that could be in a salad. So far, I've got Mohamed Salah, Scott McTomato, Julio Caesar Salad, Rob Green Salad, and Salad Deli Ali Counter. It's just,
Awful. Slow week, is it?
It really is. Hello to Guy Fraser. Hi, guys. You're here. Former Toon London legend Steve Howie on Fighting Talk this weekend, revealing that Nigel Pearson's nickname in football is Shark Eyes. I can't stop thinking about it, he says.
Sounds like a Bond movie.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted us, Mr. Sleepy Gaz on Twitter, messaged us that Sean Morrison, the Cardiff defender, I think he was doing Movember.
Yes,
and he's grown himself a nice big handlebar
moustache. Oh, it's like a Hulk Hogan one.
And now he's sort of bleached it yellow. Yeah. It looks like Hulk Hogan. But nobody seems to be talking about it. If you Google him, nobody mentions the fact that he looks like Hulk Hogan
now. It's almost like Hulk Hogan, his persona non grata for saying a lot of racist stuff.
Nah, he's back, mate.
Oh, he's back, is he? He's reinvented himself, is he?
Short memories in the WWE.
Yeah. Speaking of Nigel Pearson, I know we're probably not going to talk about this game today, but I think he might... Big shark eyes, might have a couple of those beady shark eyes on a home win against Man United this weekend.
Could happen.
There we go. Is that it, Pete? You're taking your glasses off, so I think that's the end of emails.
Yeah, I've got one of those. You know when you squeak your eye? Your eye feels a bit funny and you start rubbing it and then it makes a squeaky noise, and then I was worried it was going to come out on the microphone. You know you got...
You are a robot, aren't you?
No, there's no...
The eyes don't squeak.
Yeah, they do.
It's only
fair... My hips don't lie, my eyes don't squeak.
Guys, it's only fair that if Pete just removes his glasses in the middle of his section and doesn't say anything, then we should read between the lines and know that emails are over.
Yeah, it's done. It's Romeo done, baby.
Do you want to do the outro jingle?
I haven't done the outro jingle for ages.
Just press any old jingle. Let's have a little bit. Go on, what we got?
Get yourself some Donny's Duds.
Okay. Oh, see?
All right.
You never know.
What was that even for?
I can't remember, to be honest.
What a wonderful way to end the first half, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in the second half.
That's you as well, Pete.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Preview Show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Now then, gentlemen, let's go back to the Premier League. Manchester City are up against Leicester City. It's the battle for second place, it would seem. Manchester City were victorious against Oxford United, 3-1 away in the League Cup this week. Better performance from Oxford United against them.
They did pretty well, Oxford, in the second
half.
Had
their chances.
Yeah, they did okay. And you know, obviously the quality told in the end, but they didn't disgrace themselves at all. And Oxford have been, they're in a bit, having a bit of a wobble at the moment. Recently, they were doing really well in League One, and then they've sort of dropped off a little bit. But I thought they gave a great account of themselves.
They did, But as you say, the Leicester game was rather enjoyable as well. And it was funny because Leicester raced into a 2-0 lead, and you thought they'll be okay. But Everton at home.
Well, they had the opportunity to win it with a Jamie Vardy penalty.
Yeah.
Right, at the end.
And obviously, they'd been taunting him as well.
Yeah,
so he's obviously going to score it.
So, yeah, it's why won't people learn?
But if Ancelotti watched that game, he will be particularly perturbed by Everton's defending for both Leicester goals.
Yes.
The second one was, I mean, Evans just had no one around him. He had the freedom of the penalty area. And the first one wasn't very good defensively either. So that'll be the priority.
Well, the quality of Davis's goal, he'll be quite pleased to see something
like
that. Yes,
that was a lovely finish. Yeah, lovely finish.
That's the sort of fight that Ancelotti will want to see as well. Obviously, you know, he's an Evertonian.
Well, he should.
And he's still only 17, isn't he, Tom Davis? And like, that sort of like...
Same age as Shola Ameobi.
And Theo Walcott, who they also have in their ranks.
Marcus, how do you think Leicester will approach this game at Man City? Because they've played in a certain way, and they are exciting to watch, and they go out to win games. Mm-hmm. But you wonder whether they will just change their style because they're playing City, a team who like to keep hold of the ball, and turn into the second half of the title-winning season type Leicester, as opposed to the first half of the title-winning season.
Of course. Well, I think that Leicester like to keep the ball and knock it around, as we still say. But it's unlikely that they will out-knock around Manchester City. Even though Chelsea managed to do it, of course. And they are very good on the counter-attack, though, Leicester City, with the pace they have. So you would expect that to be the ebb and flow of the match. You'd probably expect Manchester City to have the lion's share of possession. In fact, Leicester might even, not happily, but concede possession to Man City because they're that good on the break with Vardy, the obvious one up there, and midfielders who can get up and support him. So I'd be quite interested to see what Rodgers will do. He tinkered with the diamond. We know he likes that. He has played it with Liverpool.
I think he might play a five across the midfield.
Well, he might well do. With the diamond, it didn't seem to... He changed it, didn't he, against Norwich City? And they might go for a sort of a, you know, the 4-5-1, becomes a 4-3-3.
Real test of his sort of tactical nous, I suppose, isn't it, to go up against Guardiola and to go up against a City team that are obviously this good, especially with the, you know, the surprising position Leicester have found themselves in. I mean, we would say that. I'm sure he wouldn't because they've got a really good squad, clearly, and he's getting the best out of them. But, you know, he's at the top table and nobody really expected this. And it'd be very interesting to see almost how he regards Leicester's status on the pitch as to how he sets up at Man City. Does he have a go at them? Does he try and take Leicester's game to them? Or does he react to City's?
I think it's a fair point.
I think he overheard me saying that they should be going for third on this show at the start of the season, and he said, no, we're going second now.
Because I immediately think, oh, they're right to Man City, they'll probably play defensive, blah, 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 blah.
But that's not how they've played all season, is it?
Well, it's not. And he may well actually look at Manchester and say, well, they're not the team that they were last season.
Well, you say that, but they don't concede goals, Leicester.
No, they don't.
The best defensive side in the league, statistically. Yeah. And I know that doesn't necessarily mean they're playing a defensive style. They're playing Brendy ball, aren't they? I mean,
Brendy ball.
Which is what he almost certainly calls it behind the scenes.
No,
you are talking about football here, yeah?
I didn't say that.
He would call it that in front of the scenes if he was saying it. He's not.
I reckon he puts his arm around Madison and says, you want to play a bit of Brendy ball today?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Well, they have got Aston Villa, of course, in the League Cup semi-final, where it'll be a Manchester derby in the other one, which I think Leicester will be quite pleased about.
Yeah. First semi-final for them since 2000.
Well, when they won the competition.
Exactly.
My goodness,
correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Mm. This is also handy. You can just see the narrative. It's a local rival, so Jamie Vardy will score a hat-trick.
Yeah, Aston Villa.
Is it a local rival?
I think it's considered a derby.
I'm going to check it. And I want to know how many miles you think it is.
What's this, Leicester Villa?
Yeah.
Well, it's West versus East Midlands, isn't it?
Yeah. Have a little check-see.
Distance between Aston Villa 45. And Leicester City is 32 miles.
Oof.
Yeah. It's actually closer than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I see. What about Manchester City? There's been a few suggestions that Guardiola could leave Man City in the summer. A few people have been talking about that.
That would be consistent with his patterns elsewhere, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, PSG are reportedly very interested, but they've usually say that about anyone who's half decent. Now, with Arteta moving to Arsenal, which has angered Man City a bit, they haven't sort of stood in his way, but there was always talk that, Arteta was being groomed to be Guardiola's successor.
Yeah. Yeah, I've 6 months at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Never speak of it again. Yeah, back to Man City.
Yeah, there's already talk that that is the case. That, you know, if an opportunity comes up at City in the future, they'd be happy to talk to him about it. It's like, oh, I see where this is going.
2 weeks in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, you've got your first one out of the way, so it's not your first one.
Well, I think this
sort of thickens the plot, Luke?
I think it. Do you know what I think does actually thicken the plot? Is the fact that they've drawn Real Madrid in the Champions League.
Mm.
And I think when you fast forward to February, about 2 months' time, 18th or 19th of February, whenever it is, they play Real Madrid. And if they get beaten handily by Real Madrid, I'm not saying they will, but if they do, and they get knocked out at this stage of the Champions
League... He's gone.
I just think it's very, very hard if they find themselves in a position where they're at the Champions League and they can't win the league to kind of reignite that. And would he have the desire to do so? So...
Well, January, the transfer window opens, so you never know. They could get a centre-half or something like that.
Yeah, but that'll be 4 months too late.
Yeah.
Five months too late.
Well, but for the Champions, I see what you mean. It is all eyes on City, really, come the summer, because with Arteta gone with that potential scenario. I mean, if they...
Yeah.
But then you could argue that if they won the Champions League, he'd probably go, right, my work here is done.
I'd think, you know, Arteta leaving isn't going to...
I think they're too
affect what Pep Guardiola does. Is it?
I don't think it is. Okay. And I do think that to me, this is probably going to come back to bite me on the bot. But they're too vulnerable to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
They don't look anywhere near it.
Yeah.
And that's a concern because that's what the project apparently is.
Mm-hmm. Unless they were to get in, and I don't know who this player would be, but unless they were to get in a centre half who had the same effect as Virgil van Dijk.
But they can't because he'll be cup tied for the Champions League.
Yeah, true.
So, unless they find a little rough diamond somewhere.
Unless they poach Soyuncu from Leicester.
That could happen. I mean, technically, in a world that nothing, it's not ruled out by the known laws of physics, can technically happen. That could happen.
Indeed, it could.
Yeah.
All right, then, let's go to the Jose Mourinho derby, Spurs versus Chelsea.
Now, this is an interesting one, isn't
fourth
it?
Fourth versus fifth, Jim.
Yeah.
Mourinho is going to chomp up Lampard's tactics.
Going to give him a little lesson, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
I know. I think this will be very much...
home win.
Yeah, I do. Because I
do you really?
Yeah.
I don't think either team are reliable enough to know what's going to happen.
I know, but Mourinho will very much want to win this. I mean, he wants to win every game, but because it's Chelsea and because it's Lampard...
He's got beef everywhere, though, to be fair. Well, every dugout he's got beef or relationships or narrative, you know.
Narrative is
narrative,
the
word.
Can I give you guys a very quick word from our sponsors, Betway, who will pay you as a winner in this game, Spurs v Chelsea, if your team scores first. Yeah. The first goal wins. So check that out. The T's and C's on the website. It's well worth a turn of the head.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, I think Mourinho will just be thinking, right, defend, beat them up, score the goals. Lovely old job.
He will flatter Lampard as well.
Yeah,
in the pre-match stuff, and I'm sure it's already happening. He'll talk about how brilliant he is, and he'll go on. He'll continue his charm offensive. Maybe move it along from the ball boys, and then just try and get in his head. Probably. Will get in his head, and then I think
problem is neither team can defend you.
Yeah, well, this is true.
Yeah,
but that's why
I think this will be a classic Mourinho performance. I think it'll be 1-0 or 2-0 Spurs.
Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing clean sheets from Spurs soon as well because Mourinho's been there. You know, the longer he's there, the more his style will set in, and players seem to respond to it very, very quickly. And
but Jim, what is his style now, though?
Well, I think I don't think his style is that different from how it's ever been. Like so much of it is about that solid foundation, isn't it? And like. Nullifying the opposition, and sometimes you don't notice that they're doing that because they do it so effectively, like the game against Burnley where Spurs were just in complete control, but that's always been his MO, isn't it? It's the anti-Barcelona football that he is very much deliberately sort of bred. And I don't mean that to say it's deliberately negative, but as we know about Mourinho and his time at Barcelona, he felt so put out by how he was treated there that he very deliberately tried to build an antithesis to the way they play, and that's his blueprint generally. So I'll be really intrigued to see how this one goes.
Mm. Well, I mean, if Jose Mourinho was to take inspiration from Graham Souness, which we all do from time to time, of course, he will want Eric Dier.
Every day. I've got one of those calendars where you turn a page off and it gives you another Souness.
There he is.
Yeah.
And he's
I thought you were going to say it gives you another little patch of chest
hair. Yeah.
Well,
it's like catchphrase.
It is.
Saturday night, you go for the medallion.
Like a hairy advent calendar.
Mm. Well, they'll have Dier and Sissoko and so on in midfield. And as soon as was recently talking about Jorginho and Kovacic being a bit lightweight in midfield, and he called them five-a-side like players.
To be fair, though, you could have him like commentating on boxing. And he'd say that. Like, oh, that Tyson Fury.
Lightweight.
I fancy myself against him.
Well,
no, he's literally a heavyweight.
Suda said if he was in the tunnel lining up against Kovacic and Jorginho, he said he'd be rubbing his hands together and licking his lips.
Yeah, because the game... Oh, because Graham's... Because the last... In this context, the
is
last...
Is anyone horny?
Yeah, I am.
Imagine if you're in the tunnel, you looked over, Graham Suda's there licking his lips.
Marcus.
Any tunnel. Underground, underpass...
I'm not saying that Graham Souness isn't an enlightened guy.
Kev.
I mean, some of the things he said more recently suggest that he perhaps is quite an enlightened guy. But in the world that just exists in the parameters of the midfield of a football match, the last 35 years hasn't happened to Graham Souness.
Yes.
And what he doesn't realise is the fact that running around like a maniac, kicking the shit out of people.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Graham.
No, I'm not going to say that's what he was as a player. He's because a he was a fine player. Yeah. And he one of the best players Britain's ever seen. And there's no question about that. But I do think it's worth pointing out that, you know, there is a different way of playing in central midfield now, and Graham Souness should acknowledge that.
Man City do it a lot. They pick up the yellows.
They do.
Yeah, further up the field.
But they're not a 1970s in agricultural midfield.
Well, he might be saying they're just a bit lightweight, though. It's still a fair comment to make.
Sure, but Jorginho's a player who moves the ball quickly. If he, I mean, look, I didn't want to have to make this completely abundantly clear, but if Jorginho bulked up and became like a version of Adama Traore. No, he wouldn't be able to move the ball as quick.
No,
he?
But I don't think he's talking about physical size. I think he's saying that they maybe get pushed off the ball a bit easier.
All I'm saying is Pete wants
Isn't
to fight him.
Oh.
Pete wants to fight him.
I will.
And we should make
sex.
That happen.
We should make it happen.
In that order?
And then make love. Bit 50-50.
You want to fight him, have sex, and then make love. That is a very telling.
Fight him, make love, fight a bit more, then have sex, and then that's the sandwich.
The sandwich.
Okay. That's the all-day breakfast double.
That's the club sandwich.
From Co-op.
meal deal?
But I think
it is.
Sod that. I refuse to be confined by any meal deals.
Well,
I'll buy batteries.
Damn right
I'll buy batteries, a sandwich, and then a coffee.
Again, you're a robot.
And who's going to stop me?
Yeah. And that's what
you? Don't think so.
I'm sure we can implement a law.
Asimov's... Whatever law,
law
of
robotics.
The three of us here have
so well read.
Three of us in this room have not been able to stop you for 12 years, so I don't think we're the right people to try now.
Exactly.
What did you think of Daniel Levy's comments saying that Spurs are not afraid to sell Christian Eriksen to a Premier League rival in January? And then
come and get him. That is a come and get him, please.
Well, especially Peter, when it became apparent that Eriksen is out of contract in July when he'll for free.
I'd be sitting tight. I'd be sitting tight and enjoying all that
I'm
money.
I'm a bit confused because I saw the interview he gave in The Standard where he said, we are relaxed about selling him to a rival. He didn't say Premier League rival. He said to a rival, which could be read as being a Champions League rival, for example. I don't know, but that's as far as I remember... I didn't see the words Premier League used. I wonder if the newspapers have been a bit naughty there picking that up.
Well, I think he means Premier League. I would be amazed if he meant overseas. But I just love the fact that they're saying, no, we don't mind. No one else will sell to a rival. It's kind of like, the reason why you sell him is you get nothing for him. Come the summer where he may well go to,
realistically, because where Spurs are as a club now, they'll be in the Champions League next season, you would expect. I mean, he's only ever going to go to a rival. You know what I mean? He's not going to go to Burnley, is he?
Yeah, but I think the issue here is that Daniel Levy is trying to promote Spurs or himself or whatever in some sort of way, going, well, we'll do what no one else will. But the reason is because you're desperately trying to sell him before the summer.
Mm.
It's a bit of a misnomer
for me. Price.
Before we move on, I should just reiterate that if you back Spurs or Chelsea in that game with Betway, the first goal, if your team scores first, you are paid out as a winner, effectively, and the T's and C's are on the website. That's Betway.
I think
it's all going to come down to Chelsea's forward players because they have been misfiring the last few matches, but they were really unlucky against Bournemouth. They had their chances. So, like, I don't know. It's all going to come down. This whole Christmas period is going to be so important for Frank Lampard. They've got Arsenal, Spurs, and then the other two is like Brighton and Chelsea. You'd kind of bat them to get.
Well, they're playing themselves.
Southampton and Brighton. you'd think they get something out of those two matches.
Well, they need to if they want to keep that fourth spot.
Yeah.
Well, if Spurs win 3-0, they'll have it.
There you go. So you've heard it here first. Or you figured it out for yourself beforehand. Mm. Now it's time for Betway's Four to Score with Luke Moore.
It is. Sorry, I thought we were going to do a bit on Watford, but we didn't at the end.
You said in the first half that we're not going to have a chance
to do it. That's my fault, Marcus.
Whose fault is it?
It's mine, but I'll find a way of putting it onto you, Pete. It's Betway's Four to Score. Four to Score entry is free. Each week we'll be participating in it for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Another little Betway update is there's been a Christmas bonus on the Four to Score.
Ooh.
So now the jackpot has been bumped up to £100,000. And even if someone wins it, it will not drop below that sum for the next four rounds.
Blimey.
Oh, imagine what I'd do with that kind of money.
What would you do?
Give it to charity. You have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to. Charity, damn it. Yeah.
But the charity in your case would be a battery retailer. All we got to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. And if you're correct, you win up to £100,000. Just go to betway.com/4to score. That's /4 and then to score. And make sure your selections are, of course, submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. There's four games and there's four of us. Jim, you go first. You've got Bournemouth v Burnley.
I think Eddie Howe had a lovely time at Stamford Bridge. He got his win. He's like a kid at school that's had a win. But
Courtesy of a looper.
Courtesy of a late looper. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But
he's like a kid at school who's had a win.
Yeah, he's like a kid. he's like a kid at school that's had a good day. But
okay.
Ashley Barnes wasn't about that day. Probably playing truant. So if there's anybody that's going to come along and smash up old Eddie Howe's good mood, yeah. I think it's Ashley Barnes.
And do you know out of interest when the last time Ashley Barnes scored a Premier League goal was?
Long enough ago that it seems like one's due.
oh, actually, apparently he scored one. He scored two in November. Fair enough.
Who's Barnes? Right,
Hushy Gums.
Barnes-o.
Peter, you've got Aston Villa v Southampton.
I've got for midfielder Conor Hourihan, who scored midweek, and he scored a couple early in the season, and these things generally come in fours, I've decided.
Yeah. He's in my fancy team, so he's not going to score on the
throw. Luke, don't curse me.
I've got Norwich v Wolves, and I've gone for in-form tank. Adama Traore.
Yeah,
Raul Jimenez. I love mess with us.
I know, exactly. I love Adama Traore. Yeah. He's just a great player. He's in good form, so I've gone with him. Marcus, you've got Man City v Leicester.
It's got to be Jamie Vardles.
Vardles.
Yeah, that's Vardy. In case anyone's searching for Jamie Vardles. Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, he was so close to scoring. Tim Krul was credited with the goal, of course, and he'll be angry about that. And yeah. It's going to be Vardy.
I think he'll do the football equivalent of smashing into this house party with a bottle of Skittles flavoured vodka and doing his thing.
Absolutely.
So, four to score, of course, it's free to play. Go to betway.com/4to score. Just select the four first goal scorers in the four selected Betway games for a chance to win £100,000. And it rolls over if no one wins it. Further T's and C's apply. Get your selections in before the games kick off and do bet the responsible way.
Lovely. Now it's time for Going for Glol.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, well, you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for Going for Glol.
I'd like to say a few things about the honesty of my squad.
Okay.
Every time we do Going for Glol, Jim instinctively closes his laptop because he doesn't want to be accused of cheating. Mm-hmm. Luke Moore has his laptop open.
I also don't want to be distracted by the light.
Because I think it'd be obvious if
I'm
going to
get you a laser pointer.
I mean, is anyone going to defend me here? Because he's implying that I'm cheating.
I'm just saying.
It'd be pretty obvious if you were.
I want to talk about the honesty of my squad. That's all right?
I never cheat this game. As people who've heard it will know.
Anyone cheating in this game would not get away with it. It'd be very clear if you sat there Googling.
There's also a camera on me there. So.
Yeah. All right. This one comes from Mr. Alex Wignall. Thank you, Alex, for these nominations.
Carry on.
I was born on... He's not loud enough. Give him a proper tap.
He's not doing it yet. That's the joke.
Oh, right, okay.
Fucking prick.
Yes.
I was born. Agree.
I was born on the 6th of September, 1980.
Thank you.
There we go. All
right, brilliant.
God was listening.
6th of December, 1980.
Yeah. Oh,
that is.
You know what? I think that's the day. I think that's the day John Lennon was shot.
You reckon?
It's the round there.
Okay. What are you going to do with that info?
365 to 1. I'll give you the odds on that.
No, he was definitely shot around then.
Stop. Right. Jonathan Woodbury.
Shot around his body. No, it's not him. I have been capped 101 times in my country and played in 3 FIFA World Cups.
Stop. Craig Moore.
3 World Cups.
He probably has, to be fair.
He's Australian. Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. Might have done.
He'd have played in 2, maybe not 3.
Newcastle alumni. I started my career with Michelin Harcourt FC, after which I joined my first European club, Standard Liège, in 1998, making 46 appearances. Then I made a move to Ligue 1 side Marseille.
Sorry, what was the first team?
Michelin Harcourt FC. I'm going to go back and tell you where he was born. Rivers State. Rivers State. I moved to an English Premier League club in 2003 after a short loan spell and became the first African player to captain my side.
Oh, hello.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm,
what a cool thing. Cool.
What a cool thing.
What a cool thing. As captain of my country, I lifted the African Cup of Nations in 2013.
Oh, blimey.
Beating Burkina Faso 1-0 in the final.
Who was that? Come on.
Who was that?
Wasn't Ivory Coast. Must be Egypt. Was it Egypt?
No, I don't know. Was it...
Egypt won a load around then, and then Ivory Coast. Was that Zambia?
Was it Zambia that won it with Harve Renard?
Yeah. But they won it on penalties.
He's not Zambian.
No, he's not
Zambian. He's not from Ivory Coast. They both won on pens.
He's not Zambian.
Oh, you did? No, did you say... What about the final? They just beat Burkina Faso, did you say?
Yeah.
Could be Cameroon. Cameroon or Egypt, I'd imagine.
After scoring an own goal against Liverpool in 2009, I lost my place in the side, eventually moving to Fenerbahce.
It's one of those ones where you thought you should know it.
Yeah.
If you don't know it now, I don't think you will know it.
I think Cameroon is right. I just can't think of a high-profile Egyptian Premier League player.
How many clues we got left, mate?
Final clue.
Oh, fucking final clue. Again, there's about three clues these
Seven
days.
Seven of them.
You still have about 15.
And then I gave you an extra one, which makes eight.
All right. Well, I look forward to that extra one.
So sort of here going, all right. He was born in Kono.
Kono. That's got... Yeah, that's not Egypt.
No. So he's West African. Nigeria didn't win it around then, did they?
I just don't know who it is.
Go on. We've got another clue. We've got
Didier Zakora.
No,
he's from Ivory Coast.
Yeah, we don't know that this person isn't.
Well, he won the Africa Cup of Nations in 2013.
It doesn't matter. It's not right.
It's done now.
Yeah.
Final and ninth clue.
Nice.
Even though I gave you two extra clues. I'm the joint record cap player for my country, sharing first place with goalkeeper Vincent Anyama.
And which country? Vincent.
No, so he's Nigerian.
Yeah.
Stop. Is it John Obi Mikel?
It's not John Obi Mikel.
I think I know who it is.
Oh, after you've done it as well.
You're going to give it?
No, don't give it.
Give it.
Marcus.
You've got a guess left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do.
You've both got guesses left.
So have you.
But there is a time frame that needs
sure
to be adhered to.
Isn't there?
Yeah. Go on, Jimmy. Have a little guess.
You have a guess.
I thought it was Obi Mikel.
Yeah.
If you've not got anything, just say, because this is a show for people
Stop
who listen
to. Femi Martins.
Not over Femi Martins.
It's not over Femi Martins. So I will have to say stop JJ Okocha.
Not JJ Okocha. The winner of Going for Gold is Alex Wignall with the player, Joseph Yobo.
Very good. So, bollocks.
Gutting.
The time is right. It's time for you. What you to play the game. These people are coming. Everyone's trying to be the best that they can, to reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
You pigs!
Can I just say, there's always a moment when you announce who it is, Pete, that Marcus and I, Jim doesn't do this because he's not as petty as us, where Marcus and I both instinctively for about a second look for a loophole.
Yeah.
And when there isn't one, well, I sort of go like this, and Marcus goes, nah. Yeah, and that's that.
Your ball.
Don't you? Do you always do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, I can tell.
I sort of think to myself, I knew that.
Yeah.
Just have another
Pete
guess.
Must have made an error.
Punish yourself. I mean, that's eminently possible, but...
Joseph Yobo. Legend.
You see, thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Of course, Football Ramble Daily will be back tomorrow with Greatest Games with myself and Jonathan Wilson. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thank you, Jimmy Campbell.
Thank you, Mickey Boy.
Thank you, listeners.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Don't stop the recording.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsitis.
Hey,
Caitlin, it's Sinners. I'm Caitlin Sinners, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.